I'm so happy that I can welcome today Gerd Hofielen to the Conscious Evolution Summit. Gerd, a very warm welcome to the summit.
Thank you for inviting me to the summit.
And I just want to bring a bit of a background why I invited you and why I think that putting and focus also on economy and on our work life and how companies operate, I guess it's important. So, I mean, when we grow in our personal development, usually there comes a certain moment where what we kind of discover in our interior, it wants to be reflected in our relationship. It wants to be reflected how we treat others. It wants to be reflected in our work life, in structures, in we want to bring more heart, more compassion, more meaning into every aspect of our life, basically.
Yeah.
And this is the reason why I want to have in this summit, which maybe mainly looks, when you look at it, it's a spiritual thing. It has to do with meditation and mindfulness and growth. And yes, but I really also want to put and focus also on how we run our companies, how we treat customers, colleagues, how we operate with money. And this is the reason why I invited Gerd, because he is part of a growing movement and a network and an organization. It's called ECG, Economy for the Common Good. And Gerd, before I would really love that you kind of explain us the principles of that. I'm interested in a bit of a personal sharing on your path. Why or how did life happen that you were interested in ECG?
Right. Okay. Well, my introduction to ECG happened in 2012, but before I was introduced into my daily meditation. And my approach to meditation is pretty much that whatever I do with full concentration. And I find when I can work in this state of mind, it is best for me and it's best for my output and it's best for the people I deal with. And in a way, I came across that principle pretty early on in my professional career. Like when I was an apprentice, I realized that work is fun. I could build something meaningful. I had meaningful contacts with people and I got a personal recognition. And to me, that was the whole package. I got so much gratification out of work that I, in a way, it wasn't really planned like this, but in the end, I became an occupational consultant, like an industrial psychologist, and I could realize a lot of my personal experience and access to work in my profession. Of course, when you work in a larger enterprise, you are always within the limits of, let's say, profit consideration, cost-cutting considerations, the fact that people are working but are not really present with their entire personality because they hate their work, they hate their boss. So there's a lot of disturbance and a lot of neglect in work life. But I think the basics of working are a lot of fun, if you do it right. So, and that kind of thinking accompanied me through my entire professional career. And I was working as an executive coach and team coach in, you could say, international business with international companies for most of the time. And then in 2012, I decided, I realized that in corporations, there is a lot of abuse of people, abuse of nature. And this is kind of the natural approach to business in our societies. But on top of that, we can observe really criminal behavior. I mean, we had the banking crisis. We had lots of corruption scandals. I was involved in cleaning up the corruption scandal aftermath in Siemens. And now we are faced with the VW scandal. And you really see that there is a lot of really brutal, aggressive riding over the rights of other people and nature in our large corporations. And that is why I said enough of them. I would like to contribute to an alternative. And then I was looking around and happened on to ECG. So now I leave it to you how to conduct the conversation.
Yeah, I mean, maybe as a next step, you could introduce a bit the principles. What is needed? What structures support what you shared, where we don't override nature, other people, where we really have an approach where we are caretakers in a way of the resources of others, of money, of ourselves. Maybe you share about that.
Yeah. I have participated in a discussion that revolves around corporate responsibility. And you find all the big companies participating in that discussion. They all say that a corporation should be responsible regarding their effects on nature, regarding their effects in the supply chain, how they deal with people, how they deal with ecological considerations. I find in my experience, a lot of that is greenwashing. It's not a learning curve. Companies like Bayer or Deutsche Bank or Adidas, I don't think they really participate in that discussion with an open mind in order to improve, in order to minimize their footprint, in order to enlarge their contribution to society. In my experience, and I have worked with these companies, they are participating in this discussion with a defense in mind. They want to defend their business model, and the business model is still creating the biggest profit possible for their owners, their shareholders. And profit is measured in financial returns. So this is a very narrow-minded way of approaching business. Business is supposed to satisfy needs of people, while not really free riding on nature's contributions and not overruling people's legitimate needs. So we find ourselves in a society, in societies, I mean, plural is justified here, where business has a very dominating influence in our lives and in our societies. And at the same time, we have mastered to evolve into a democratic society. I mean, democracy is under assault as well. But we have democratic principles in our constitutions, and we are proud of calling our societies rule-based democratic societies. And economy for the common good cherishes that achievement a lot and believes that companies should be under the same frame of values, the same values that guide our democratic societies should guide corporations. Like the German Grundgesetz has in its first paragraph the respect for human dignity. And the German constitution also respects social justice and the rule of people. People should take decisions. That is all enshrined in our German constitution, and you find those values pretty much in all democratic constitutions. In Europe, in the US, in Latin America, about Asia, I'm not so sure. But I mean, this is a body of experience, of wisdom, that mankind has developed over centuries of struggle. And we found that respecting human rights, especially after World War II, respecting human rights and respecting the rights of nature are necessities for a prosperity on a societal basis. And economy for the common good is of the opinion that companies should contribute exactly to those values and should conduct their business within a frame of these values. And to be very specific, in economy for the common good, we posit that human dignity, social justice, solidarity, ecological sustainability, and democratic co-determination should be respected by companies. And we have already 2,000 plus companies that are influenced by us. And we suggest that a company lays a balance sheet, creates a balance sheet to explain and to prove the degree to which they contribute to these values. And we ask in this balance sheet, companies are asked, for example, to what degree do you contribute to human rights, human dignity in the treatment of your suppliers? How does human dignity fare in your financial operations with your employees? How do you deal with human dignity in the context of your customers and society at large? And so on. And this is a way which enables company to come, first of all, to come to grips, to analyze what they do. And secondly, we give them a lot of hints and ideas for improvement. So by developing this balance sheet, a company not only gets a very inclusive picture how they conduct their business, they at the same time they produce a wonderful story that they can communicate to all stakeholders, to everybody who is interested in this company.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, if we would look at a large company, I can imagine that who would fill in this balance sheet would maybe reflect different perspectives. If it's really the owner of the company, or maybe cleaning staff of the company, or some yeah. people in the management position, who fills in this form?
Exactly. That is a good question. The users of our system, of our balance sheet, as of now, are mostly owner-led companies. That means a company that has, say, 25, 50, 250, goes up to a level of 3,000 employees. And is, of course, it's not really possible to ask 3,000 employees how they assess their company in this respect. So, the more democratic approach is to really ask your stakeholders for feedback, like ask your suppliers how they would fill in these questions for you, or ask your financial partners, or ask your employees, ask your customers, get feedback from society. This, of course, is the most democratic process that involves also most effort. If you do it in a real democratic way, it's a lot of time that is
necessary. And in a way, I mean, a lot of openness, transparency, honesty, flexibility, acceptance is needed to invite really all these perspectives in a way.
Right. So what happens in practice is that a leadership team, or not always a leadership team, a team of volunteers, let me put it like this, a team of employees who act as volunteers to develop this ECG balance in the company. And of course, they are asking indeed suppliers and employees and customers. But since it's a real intensive effort, it has its limits. And I believe there are companies who do it for a third time, who come up with an ECG balance for a third time. And of course, when you do it repeatedly, then you have a better, it's easier to include a wider circle of stakeholders. On the outset, our experience is that it's done by a team of volunteers, of employees in the company. So they are in a way representing the stakeholder view. But our system lends itself to a real, very collaborative process. And we do have organizations that are more democratic by their own intent. Like, for instance, a government-sponsored research organization. They have 120 employees, and when they came up with the ECG balance, they really undertook a pretty wide effort to involve employee feedback and to get feedback from their customers. And the customers in their case are scientific and political institutions. So they took that feedback on board. And when you do this, then a company becomes a real inclusive organization. And that's a good way to pursue.
And in a way, Gert, in your experience, what brings a company, or let's put it differently, how is the setup of the company or a company owner that they are interested in participating in that?
Right. Okay. To some degree, you have already companies in our society where the owners or the owner group has understood that we need to change business. Business needs to become humane, human-friendly, and needs to respect nature. Like businesses in the organic food industry, retailers or farmers or distributors, they understand that they cannot use or abuse nature as in the conventional agriculture. So in a way, you have a group of businesses that understood even before ECG became an organization that we need to conduct our business in different ways. So these companies are the first users of the ECG system. And they create a foundation, a body of proof in a way, because those companies can demonstrate that it is feasible to protect people, to respect nature, and be successful in the marketplace. And then you could say, right, but these people can charge a premium price in the marketplace because they have a clientele that is willing to pay for it. That is true. And that is why it is very important that companies in industries where the customer is not willing to pay for that, that those companies also lay their ECG balance. And we do have those companies.
Yeah, in a way, Gert, it often makes me really sad because our understanding what is included in a price we pay is not really reflecting the reality. Because if I eat a poisoned food with pesticides, which right. I buy very cheap, if you would add the costs of the when we destroy the land or the costs of your consultations at a physician or in hospital or medicaments, so our prices do not reflect the real costs. That is also kind of something which I think we really need to change how we set up prices for goods or for services.
Right. Let me come back to that in a minute. I would first like to stick with your previous question. So we have companies in the organic food industries with ECG balance sheets. We are very keen to attract companies that are in the B2B business, business to business industries, because those customers don't really care. They don't really pay. They still are asking for the most competitive price with good quality and with on-time delivery. Yes, of course, but still price is the main decisive factor. And I can say, yes, we do attract companies that are in those industry as well. Companies that are in the cleaning business, companies that are producing electronic signaling components and whatever. And there you have owners who have this social side or who are inspired to protect the environment. So, and I have done research. I have asked some of those company owners what drives you when you conduct your business. And they say it is really when you look around, when you see what we do to nature, how we run our societies, they understand that business is and should be part of an inclusive society and of a nature that is respected. So it all comes down to a personal responsibility and a personal insight of business owners. And now let's switch over to the consumer, because people who have that responsibility and live it in their business, in a way they depend on customers to buy their stuff. And yes, in some cases, these businesses are capable of enticing the customer to pay more. Like I know a carpenter, and she builds kitchens and offices with her group of people. There are 15 people. And she argues with the customer about FSC certified wood. She argues about using recycled material to build a kitchen or an office. And she always has to argue about the price. She always needs to motivate the customer to pay a premium. And she is successful doing that because she is very committed to those ideas. And I believe those could become standard business practice. We could, just like we introduce a minimum wage, we could introduce standards how to deal with nature. And we have those standards, but they're still not strict enough, because we see that we still are free riders with nature's contributions. And what you said, if we would imagine we pay for all the use of nature in our products, and not only in food, but also, for instance, in cars would be quite a bit more expensive. Our clothes. This is a t-shirt that is made of recycled plastic and it costs 40 euros. And the stuff would all be more expensive, but we would live in a healthier society and we would be more in tune with nature. And I think we should be willing to pay a price, but we are all educated in this mindset of it should be cheap. And my decision is primarily about price. And we need to get rid of that mindset. This is part of the picture. It's not only industry that is free riding on nature. It is also us, the consumer. In every decision we make about food, about clothing, about furnishing, about cars, we need to take into account what is the better alternative. There is always, nowadays, we do have that in the market. We are this far advanced. We always find products that deal more respectful with nature and more respectful with people. And every one of us should assume the responsibility to exactly go for the better quality and for the product with a higher degree of human rights and protection of nature.
Mm-hmm. But in a way, Gerd, that also needs, what pops up again and again is information and communication is very important. So in a way, as a responsible consumer, I also need to take really also time to investigate in the background of a company, or when I give money to that, what does it contribute to? And that's really also can take a lot of time in lives which are quite busy for most all people. So,
right. I agree. It takes a level of good information and it takes responsible communication from the side of companies as well. But I would like to emphasize that underneath this level, there are human qualities. There is empathy and there is my willingness to understand the complexities of life. I mean, it's really ridiculous that when I buy apples, I go to the supermarket and I buy apples for the kilo, I don't know, 2 euros. In the organic supermarket, the stuff costs 4 euros often. It's not always double, but it's often a premium. So in order to take that decision, I believe we need to empathize with nature. We cannot go on destroying nature in the way we do. We need to understand that conventional agriculture destroys soil, pollutes water, pollutes air, kills biodiversity. And in order to take this on board, what you need is the human quality of empathy and the willingness to understand how the stuff is being produced. Mm-hmm. And that is not asking a lot. I mean, everybody who downloads video games engages in mental structures that are far more complicated than you would need to do your due diligence when you take your consumption, your decisions as a consumer.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely agree. And in my experience, I mean, I'm a person, I live almost 100% organic, I would say since 25 years or so when it started. And the more you do it, the less it's possible. When I'm in an area where I go to a restaurant and I know it's not organic, it's really not easy to put that into my body. But in a way, my experience is that when I also eat good food or wear organic clothes, or when I take some services which really nourish me deeply, I don't need so much stuff in general. I need less because right. It also feels more satisfying and more deep and nourishing. So in a way, at the end of a month, I really would like to challenge that it's really so much more expensive.
Yeah, and also when you cut down your meat consumption to a reasonable degree, you free budgets that you can then use to buy some of the stuff in supermarkets. Mm. But we are here, we're running the risk of preaching to the converted. I believe people who are listening to this program, probably they are already buying organic food and they are probably aware of their selection when they buy clothes. So my interest, and that is why I also like ECG, my interest is to push the boundaries of our community. And thank God we do have a community of businesses and of consumers who are understanding the challenge of our times and who understand terms like Anthropocene and terms like planetary boundaries. So we do know that we are really risking the planet by now. It's not a joke anymore. So how can we push the boundaries of our community? And there I believe an approach like economy for the common good is important and is useful, because we enable companies, or we invite companies to define or to analyze for their business, how do they deal with their suppliers, or for instance, with their suppliers, according to the values that we are asking, like human dignity, social justice, solidarity, ecological sustainability, and democratic participation. So we are asking businesses, please state, understand, diagnose yourself what you're doing. And then we give them a score. I mean, they can self-score, but finally we run an audit, because the audit is important to really create trust in this report. And we allocate points. So in the ECG scheme, a company can have maximum plus 1,000 points or minus 3,500 points. And the minus points are important because we know a lot of business practices that are really detrimental to the common good for our planet and detrimental to people. So that is why we don't want to be easygoing with businesses that are greenwashing. We have enough of that. We have too much of that. So our basic level, 0 points, is the legal agreement, what is legally being practiced. And everybody, every practice that is better, that contributes to a higher degree to, let's say, social justice, that is rewarded with points. And a company that I now have in mind, this is the electronics company, they have scored round about 500 points out of 1,000. And that means that this business cares about their purchases, their employees, their finances, their customers, to a better degree than the normal standard business. And when you compare a normal standard business with an ECG certified business, especially when the points are in the region of 400, 500, 600, you really can see differences. These companies are much more aware of the rights of their employees. They communicate in a more honest way with their customers. They take care that their products have a positive effect in society. And in the supply chain, they are also acting pretty responsibly. So, and this is the contribution of ECG to our conventional... Oops, something fell in my kitchen. I don't know why. I'll take care of that later. Conventional businesses can also come up with an ECG balance sheet, and they can understand where they can improve. Mm-hmm. And they don't need to go public with the result. I mean, we have a couple of companies. They download the stuff from the internet. It's open source. They fill in the forms. They have some consulting, and they realize we are coming up with minus 200 points. And then they decide, but your overall principles, we buy into those values and we want to improve. Then they take a time out, a year or two, improve, And then they come back and run their balance sheet. And that is what we would like to achieve. And that is feasible. Mm-hmm. And that is the big advantage of economy for the common good compared with other good ideas, mm-hmm. like post-growth economy, which is a very important, very good idea. But how do you measure that? Mm-hmm. And we have come up with a measurement tool that everybody could use. Mm-hmm.
And that, do you have experience? I mean, I can imagine that it really has a big variety, but in your experience, as you accompanied companies in this transitioning, are there any numbers how many months, years it would take in order, it would take to transit with a conventional company into an ECG company?
Yeah, well, I'd say if a company starts at zero baseline, just doing the legal minimum, mm-hmm. but still would be very ambitious. Mm-hmm. So if I assume a very ambitious company, like an owner who has had his epiphany yesterday and now says, "What can I do?" And we have that example, not within ECG, but we do have that example in the person of, what is his name? Ray, I come back. The company that he owns, or he did own, he has died a couple of years ago, is Interface. Interface produces carpet tiles, and carpet tiles are made from oil. And he started in 1995. He has decided, we as a company, we want to climb Mount Sustainability. That is his words. These are his words. And they started in 1995. And after 20 years, they are now at a level where all the electricity is from renewable sources. They pretty much don't use fresh water anymore. They have closed circuits. They resource the material for their carpet tiles to 80 degrees from recycling. They have, for instance, created an organization that collects fishing nets that are swimming in the ocean, killing the fish. They pay people to collect the nets. They convert the nets in recycled plastic they can use to build new carpet tiles. So this is an industrial company. And they are quoted at the Nasdaq, which is one of the most competitive stock exchanges that we know. So they have proven within 20 years that they could really convert their business into a pretty much sustainable business under the restrictions of the profit force of the stock exchange. So that is a large business. They are a $1 billion company, $1 billion company. So, but it's probably fair to say that if we think of our industrial system, and if companies would really be ambitious and would do what it takes, I think we need the 20 years. I mean, we are here in 2080. At 20 years, it's 2038. It would still be within the sort of limits of our planet. We could still have a human race with a future. It would be possible. And of course, for smaller companies, the conversion takes a smaller number of years. And nowadays we have an advanced degree already in some industries, like our example of the organic food industry. I mean, it's 5% of the market share, but in those 5%, you have very little damage to nature. And even these companies restore nature. And that is what we need to achieve. And with ambition and with decisive investment and innovation, I would say a business can do it within 10 years. A large business. Smaller businesses probably in fewer years.
Or even if some people building up a new business really already putting it on this solid foundation of an other value system, basically.
Yeah, and that happens. I mean, for instance, a recent business success is the company that builds electric cars for our postal office. You have heard of them. So they have decided, the post office inquired with the usual suspects, like our premium car producers. They were not interested. So they worked with the university, and out came of this effort now a company that produces every year 20,000 of these cars, and they are used for delivery, and they're all electric. So we can see that these companies spring up and they are already in the right mindset, but we can also see that these companies still use steel. They still use copper. They use coltan and all those critical materials from Africa. So it is really important that also a newly founded business operates with a very clear, broad mindset of values. Otherwise, they just produce an electric car, which is nice to be used, but their supply chain could be very bad as well. So we really need an holistic, value-oriented approach to business.
Mm-hmm. And Gerd, do you already know of, let's say, that from official sides, from the legal side, from politics, is companies shifting to that already kind of supported?
Not yet in a clear manner. We as ECG, of course, we are arguing for that, and other players in our environmental NGO scene, they are also arguing the same ideas. And we see that there are companies that are preferred when it comes to value-added tax. Like when you buy books, you pay 7%. And we have seen recently that hotels, the laws were changed for hotels. I mean, that is a pretty salacious lobby effort that took place there. It's kind of a really behind-the-scenes shenanigans. But anyway, we have seen that the value-added tax for hotels was reduced to, I believe, also 7%.
Yes.
So, yes, it is.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah. So we see that, yes, it is feasible to modify the tax code to support some businesses. And we argue that because ECG businesses are very useful, very cooperative towards the goals of our society and what we need in terms of nature respect, we argue that those companies should also be treated with some preference in the tax code or with subsidies or access to cheaper credit or things. Yeah, but since we are living in a conventional economy, and since the conventional economy is very strong and influences the political parties and the key political players, it's an uphill battle to succeed. But we do it. We argue for it. And I think it makes a lot of sense, and it's justified. It's really a pure power game that we don't succeed yet. Mm-hmm. So we need to drum up enough cooperation. We need to have, I mentioned before, we have 400 companies with ECG balance sheets. We need 40,000 companies with ECG balance sheets And then we can also influence the political agenda in a much better way. Mm-hmm. And we need to do that, and we're doing it.
And I mean, in which way could people which are interested contribute to that? I mean, of course, when you are a company owner, you could kind of look up the website and maybe engage and making a balance. But in everyone, is it a matter of really also sharing it, talking about that it comes into mind that it already exists? Or what would you suggest us to support that it really grows?
Yeah, first of all, I really appreciate the interview, because that is one of the steps to propagate and to communicate the message. And we can do better, we know that. But it's also a matter of experience, it's a matter of development levels that we are communicating more professionally and more widely. But we are doing this. When a company does their ECG balance, for instance, we encourage the company to publish that on their website, and also publish it in print, of course. And we put those companies on our website as well. So yes, we are absolutely interested that the word is going to spread. We are also creating currently a label that a company can put on their products that says we are an ECG certified companies, and maybe we have scored this in so many points. So we are currently developing this kind of label for the company. And consumers are important, and consumers can also, in their day-to-day decisions, favor the products that come from companies that are operating in the mindset of ECG. And here I have to say, not all companies that are operating in the mindset of ECG are ECG certified, because that is also a matter of how well known is ECG? It's a matter of companies have different agendas, they have different priorities, and also some companies hesitate to be as transparent, because putting all the information in a balance sheet, publishing it, and being open to scrutiny by your employees, by your customers, not all owners of private business like that. So that takes a little bit of convincing as well. Mm-hmm. But we believe that transparency is the lever, is the tool that would support our cause. Mm-hmm. We believe that, sorry.
No, go on.
Yeah, last sentence. Mm-hmm. We believe that putting all those informations, how a company runs their business, putting all that information out, make it available for every interested party, that really creates the political momentum and you could say the convincing energy for other companies to follow suit. And it does happen to a small degree. And I hope it will happen in the future in a much larger degree.
Mm-hmm. And I guess also education in schools is important. I saw a few years ago that now already the book about ECG is in the material in schools, where it is really introduced as a model of how economy can work. So little steps.
Yeah. Well, education is important. But I would say more important is really that we work with the decision makers of the next 20 years. I mean, it's fine to work with a person who is 4 years old, but until that person reaches a meaningful contribution to our society, it might be too late. So I think the people that are decisive now are the people who are now in their 20s, 30s, 40s. These are really the people we need to educate, we need to engage. And the author, the main author who created Economy for the Common Good, Christian Felber, he was recently mentioned in a school book. I think it was an economic school book in Austria. And he was mentioned as the founder of Economy for the Common Good, together with Maynard Keynes and Karl Marx and Hayek and all these luminaries who really have made a significant contribution to our economic thought. And then there was a there was an upheaval in the Austrian community of teachers, and they argued that Christian Felber has not yet reached the status to deserve to be depicted on the side of Karl Marx and John Maynard Keynes. So they eliminated him from the school book. But this is kind of, that happens, and it's kind of okay. It does not really impede or prevent the distribution of the ideas of ECG. Mm-hmm.
All right, and Gerd, to make it really practical, if a company would be interested in transitioning to ECG into that value system, what would you suggest as first steps?
A first step could possibly be approach me, because it's now easy to connect with a person you have already seen, and I would be willing to work with any company. Probably the website of ECG is pretty instructive. And in the website, www.ecogood.org, you would find the information how to connect with ECG, and you find all the material regarding establishing your own balance sheet. It's all open source. It's all for free. And we have now regional groups throughout the German-speaking world, but also in Spain, in Latin America, in the UK, in Sweden. So it's not so difficult nowadays to connect with someone who could give you more information about ECG.
So there is already kind of a community where you connect and really exchange your experiences or bring your question into the community where people might have already more experience.
Right. We figure that around about 5,000 people are now really spreading the message of ECG in their role as consultants or speakers or companies who spread the word as well. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much, Gerd, for bringing this facet into our Conscious Evolution Summit. And I want to give you the chance to maybe speak out a wish or spread the fire so that people might be really wanting to dive deeper into that.
How is that, like one phrase or?
Whatever feels really good for you, where your passion and your joy is, and when you share out of that, I guess it will reach people.
Ah, yeah, okay. Well, my motivation, so to speak, my energy really comes from a love for the creation, a love for life on one side. And on the other side, I have a very rebellious streak. I hate people who don't think about those circumstances, about the entire approach of the human race to life. And I wish for holistic thinking and for holistic feeling towards improving our lives in all respects, and also the relationship between people. So it has become a bit of a longer, convoluted sentence, but that's it.
Thank you so much, Gerd, for your contribution to the summit. And I also want to thank you watching the video or listening to the audio. And I hope that you can access to your caretaking for our planet, for all beings on this planet, and that you can maybe access your curiosity to make changes, or you can access maybe this rebellious nature in yourself, which thrives you and motivates you to build new structures, basically, which are more reflecting our deep, meaningful values right now. So, and please share with your friends and people you like that this summit is happening. There's still some interviews coming, and I all the best to you, and all the best to you, Gert.
And thank you, Purya, for this nice conversation and for allowing me to introduce ECG to all of you.